And then the issue of non-compliance of the structure.
The way of introducing your reporting to the House, that's one sufficient order. What we do is, if you don't have a public hearing, they have to appear. What we've done, because our committee is very large, because of its size, proposed to the committee a formal meeting that the hearing be conducted by five. I'm sure you. Smaller the number, the easier it is. That's what we're doing. So imagine if you have a year, 27 minutes, which is actually impossible. And then all of that quickly situation where there may be a member who wants to show politics or something. So we tried and we succeeded. So those five members conduct the hearing. A very formal procedure. The registrar and the staff are present. That hearing is closed to the media and to the chair. And they know. We tell them in advance. This will be a closed hearing. Of course, they hear the outside the door, cameras, and all the rest of it. Let me say, I've warned them, whatever you do, try your level best not to let the thing get to the point where you call it. I have no control over it. But if we announce you are going to appear for a hearing, they write as though you did. That's how they write. That's how they report. And so I say to members of all parties, whatever you do, don't appear before the ethics committee in the hearing. So they have the hearing and it's a very formal process. They're allowed to call, he is allowed to call witnesses. The registrar who represents the committee and parliament is allowed to call witnesses and present evidence. And while it's not a court of law, that's the procedure of it. And at the end of that, we ask the member concerned, he's a representative, the registrar, and everyone else, please now leave us alone, close the door, switch off the tape recorder, and the five members then say, he or she is guilty, wants a sanction, then we call it back, and we report. That's how we do it. I just thought I'd tell you that before the registrar. Now, we've got the reports now. He's been told verbally what our findings are. We go one further. We instruct the registrar to put a written document together so that we inform him in writing. When we do that, I try and do it myself. I go to the member and I say, here you are. This is our finding. Please sign here to say you've received it. Now I fulfill that responsibility which the rules place upon me. Now we say, now we're ready to report to the House. We take the report and we give it to the special official here in Parliament. Give it to me. Say, please table this. When that official informs the registrar that yes, that report has now been tabled, And she goes into Parliament to retire because she's 3 years or 13 years. That's the first step in our reporting to the House. When that happens, we are then allowed to face the media. We had a hearing. These are the findings. And the member concerned that these reports. Now, we have fulfilled all our requirements. The management of Parliament see there's a report that comes from our committee that's been tabled. Does anyone what is in the report? If the report says we found this member guilty, he's likely to be sanctioned with 1 month's salary. Or suspended for whatever the sanction is. We cannot carry out the sanction. We don't have the authority to do that. Parliament's authority. Sanction authority. Okay? In that situation, Parliament will then arrange for the debate to appear on the order paper on a particular day. Now, normally when that happens, I as chair am expected to stand up and present the report. I don't read it about it. I simply speak to it, point out salient features, the content, etc. Right? Then other people, members of the committee, then there's a little debate. Happened that in some situations opposition members stand up and say, well, we're not happy with this decision. Neither here nor there. It's like water off a duck's back as far as I'm concerned. And then, of course, in my introduction, I say, heading of Parliament, so please accept the findings and carry on. Do so expeditiously. Carry out pension 6 months after the event. To the extent where I've actually instructed the registrar to make sure that where we say so and so must be fined so much, they say I want proof. She gets it. Shows that it's been done after. Have they carried out our wishes? I want to be able to say yes. If I say yes, then they know that the registrar has shown me. So that, in brief, the members may wish to add, is how the whole process flows with regard to reporting the knowledge. That may be what you add, both of you.
Then setting aside the beginning, you know that then you don't do much work, you know, sometimes that much with the content. But if you do, then it is really something serious to an American effect, Parliament can affect the member, case of the member, case of Parliament is really important. Right? Therefore, the point I'm trying to make is that the procedure for the distribution is very, very important. Right? Otherwise, we would sit on all sorts of things. Mm. I mean, I am only surprised, for example, if after the walkover period, lots of complaints will come up. Which means the procedure is very, very important. Not only for the technical members, but in the technical problems. So therefore, the registrar does a preliminary, you know, investigation, and the chief can then decide whether it is frivolous or unfounded, and this informs the committee about it. That's the idea of the story. What makes it the procedure that is very important.
And if before I recognize Sabina, another reason why the procedure must be put down in writing, and why you should follow it strangely, is that Hindi is there. And this is happening to us. Just one. In the event that your decision is challenged in the High Court, you want to be able to search it. And you want to be able to go to that court and say, this is the procedure we follow. There's a test of the hearing. This is what you want. And when that judge thinks they look at it, you must be able to say, I hope we never have a challenge again, but we can't guarantee it. So that's why the members keep stressing the procedure,
I mean, if you look at the judgment, for example, regarding court voting elections, so that's top of the level of the procedure. And how we have to go through all this problematic
arguments. Some to know.
Just because we don't
a little thing.
Which kind of even does have to be very, very careful? Because out there in the country, if something needs answering, you've got to be answering. Because the community is questioning. You know, this happens in the ethics community, in the national policy. Was it correct? Was the correcting found? Why was that person dismissed or dismissed or even found guilty? You have to have a proper answer to it. Because they can come to media and say, this Welsh body told me certain things. And you know, it just blows out of proportion. So one has to be very, very careful. You know, the old saying is, go through it with a fine comb.
Yes.
And if you can't get your priorities and your everything right in the committee, then you also, as the earlier said, the dignity of the time in the change of to say, committees are here, we help you in our job.
Just maybe the last concept is there because it's not fun. This is not sit down and abuse it. It's something that we, because we don't have just to be the point in committing any question. It relates to enforcement of the House, but more importantly, to the media and the public. Fadila does not engage in the conduct. All queries. She receives three. Somebody calls, editor, journalist, whoever. She says, please call Mr. Anders, this is his number, and she did. So that then the answers come from me. Now, I'm not sure how your system works if she doesn't. They choose to go in a different direction. Entirely up to you. But in this case, ours was because there are times when I choose, I'm not ready to engage with you. Or if I am ready, then I engage. I've been on radio talk shows, I've seen television. That's fine. But once I am ready, I have all my facts, then I can do that. But in her case, you know, the real self was far better than the office was kept out of the family. Because you're dealing with people's lives. The last thing I want is for another man to start from the office. It's about the office, it's about the individual, it's about the individual. It's very important. And so because of that, this is how it's not written in our code, but it works.
I just wanted to say for the benefit of our members and yours that we have built in to our code the issue of liability. I know Zula and I spoke about it for a long time. Built into our code liability for two reasons. The one is that, as we discussed, it's a lot easier to blackmail someone who owes you $2 million. Than what it is if someone has $2 million interest in your company, but also to balance in the perception of the public, because it's a public document, they get it in the library or on the website or wherever, and they read that the Honourable Marikane has 7 houses, but they don't see the flip side of the coin that she has bonds for 7 houses. So we built that in, and I think that it, Nicole, gave a balancing effect when you go through the.
The declaration. Yeah. Well, I don't know how my fellow MPs will look at that. Maybe it's a later stage of the decision. I don't know. For now, I must admit that I was working very hard. Five from the Indonesians, we had Canadians, some to the British. Irish and in the same way that we engage with you today, we engage with them. I must admit, my own personal view, I like the Canadian news. There's a lot. We just look at it that way. To come back to the point raised by the about connected public representatives in the government. In their code, in their form, that question is pertinent to us. So that you actually state yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if you say no, and later, TSC, in fact, you have, and not just you, Jefferson, you, your spouse, your children, and your siblings, all included. Which I think is an excellent idea. I haven't had the opportunity to engage with my community about extending our code to that extent. But hopefully in the future that opportunity
will arise. Yeah. On the reliability issues, yeah. I think in our initial discussion we discussed about regarding code of conduct. It is we have no problem whatsoever with I'm sure if you look through that record then, there will be 10 pages of one person, for example, a couple of pages of property seekers for their own bank. Principally, again, there was any conservators or any other word.
We don't like it. I don't. had occasion with the committee room here in 2001. We're dealing with a bill that involves cell phone service. Intersection of communication. And we came there somehow without the entered with a very glossy folder filled with the documents, permission, and pen. Now, this committee we serve on, just never had one. We deal with lawyers and they which is fine. It suits us. There we are now with this committee, and now this year, I'll mention his name, Peter McGuire. He was there.
From our estate.
Yes. Me and JJ, what is this? What are you trying to say? Well, I don't understand what the problem is. The order of the really? Okay. Yes. Give it back to you. Don't ever come here with stuff like this. Well, of course they were alarmed. He said, no. If you do it there, don't even do it forward. We are not interested with this attitude. But you can just come here with it. Glossy presentation and again signed into it. This is how we proceed. And we work in it. Now, Fabiola will give you an example that she's had. And what she normally does is she will request something in writing from you and respond in writing. The issue of conflict of interest in that situation becomes very difficult. The substance of her response.
I think that's one of the things from the ethics committee is that a conflict of interest will arise. Is not a wrong thing, because maybe you work in a particular area, you get information and all of that. How you manage the conflict is particularly important, and I think that's where the guidance of some community is here. You see, I think that we are friends, and I think that we as a committee haven't had a proper discussion in a long time about some of the broader issues. So say, for example, and unfortunately I brought in the communications committee, for example. They do oversight over trust. And sometimes it's not correct. I'm not saying that it's even instance, but I think that one of the issues that, for example, that committee needs to guard against is that there's a number of things. So first of all, Telkom will fund some of their oversight services. Now, you know, the person who you have oversight over shouldn't be funding them. It's a bad principle. Then there's the issue of they have these dinners and whatever and have unpaid expenses. Right? Of course, we operate on the principle that our members are clean and they behave in a proper and correct way, and most of them I'm sure do. I always say to members, we've had about 45 complaints in 10 years with 454 members. That's quite a small percentage. So we don't operate with the assumption that members are all corrupt and all out of the tech. But you see, this issue about the potential for influence. And therefore, so then there's that. Then there's these gifts and freebies, and then they have the North Sea Gas Festival that fund all of these things, and MTN funds it. And it's all a very close relationship. And sometimes those things are harmless, but they do create a conflict. I always tell the members who come to my office for advice, I say, imagine you are now a member of the Middle and Energy Portfolio. And you have a good relationship with the mining houses. you know, you're the peer person, they take you on their visits, whatever, whatever, and then there's a huge disaster that month. And you get called out to sit and hear the mind. Now, everybody in your community knows you go to dinner with a chairperson of the mind. You're sitting in this group of comments. Do they think, so if you make a finding, what credibility? So the most important is also to protect the reputation and the integrity of product. I was saying, you know, one of the things that I, this is my personal crusade in the administration, is that I say to the men's and form of which I'm a part, this parliament shouldn't be accepting money from outside people. You know, the British parliament didn't even accept a watch for you. For a corridor, a clock, a wall clock. Because they say that the... And you know, in our parliament, I did some research. Our parliament is the only parliament here in the world. I couldn't find another parliament that accepts donations from outside sources. Even the poorest parliaments in Africa say that their parliament, because you see, they all are direct charge to revenue funds.
Yeah.
And they... So that represents the organization that represents democracy. You must pay from the pocket of the state. And you know, the thing is, those things are important because they must be important just for the sake of the integrity of the institution. So by, you know, we had a situation, and I think it was in the public domain, that our department, our portfolio committee, and the member went to that oversight visit about the head. They were investigating a dream that was done. And then when the same head of the company paid for the committee to go on it. And it's like, you know, those are some of the things. It's not in the ambit of the committee. And I think those, out of that one, there was a rule change. That now every committee portfolio, you know, Parliament is quite big. I'd like to leave it to you this morning, but with the both houses, almost about 50 committees, and the CEOs don't know exactly what's happening, and there's all kinds of oversight activity, etc. So at the level of coordination, those kinds of things, and that's your point, isn't it? That we need to prevent this whole perception that the institution must prevent the institution from having a conflict of interest. And so some of those things are not a conflict of interest for the individual members, but jointly becomes a conflict of interest for the institution. I mean, you have a dinner with somebody for 400 rand. I mean, really, it would be a sad day in a democracy. You don't have any influence to have 400 rand in each country.
Honourable Chair. I just want to check how you deal with that particular issue that Sabina wrote, because also after a discussion that we had, we based our code very much on yours and then some ideas that Sabina had when we looked at what happened elsewhere. And we, in our declaration, require chairpersons of committees to disclose external funding and so on. So if the BS takes a portfolio committee somewhere, the chairperson has to declare it. But that includes committees that NEC's chair. And the difficulty with that is monitoring. How do you do it? Do you do it that way? Do you monitor? Because, as you say, there's so many different committees you don't know. Because not to catch, but to protect. To say, you must be careful, you know, have you disclosed?
Two issues here, and it is about the contribution of the committee to a large extent. You know, so for example, a person can receive a really large gift as long as it is chosen.
Yes.
But I think that when the code of conduct was initially initiated, so we asked Molly to say that the first and foremost rule of the code of conduct is about open and transparent. So that as long as it is closed. So a member, for example, you know, one of the things people forget about the underlying presumption of the code is that you can operate businesses, you can have financial interests, you can receive gifts. You know, in the United States, a senator can only receive a gift of $20. They're not allowed to receive any other gift. So if you go there with a gift bigger than that, they won't accept it. So the thing is that we operate with these assumptions, and we say that the safeguard against that is closure. So that's the minimum standard. That in fact, disclosure is the minimum standard. Then if you go beyond the disclosure, you say, okay, there are some things we think are best practices. We have in Parliament, it is supposed to be, in terms of the rules, that the members must disclose. In fact, now it's quite tight. You know, only the Speaker or the Chairperson of the NPP can approve the outside funding. So they can't really do it. There are ways people try to overcome it. So what they'll do is save the three members of the committee here. So it won't come to the committee, but some outside party will fund it. And then the members will disclose. So there are a lot of loopholes, but I mean, I think that by and large, the collective is kind of done away with in Parliament. So the outside funding, we're kind of dealing with it in a much more systematic way. So I think that, and those are the things, you know, they go into the rules and you make the rule changes to actually make sure that it doesn't happen. I think, but you see, the thing is the importance, I think the chairperson has raised it a lot with a lot of people, and then those things just kind of change in the rules. So, yeah.
There's two things, Chipson, that I would like to bring to your attention, to the attention of your power, which you do not put in your agenda, and I don't know which you can bear with me, but also. There's an assumption that because we put our interest that it. See, people don't walk around with things and come to a committee and hope to say, that's got it, okay. Let's see, okay. In fact, this thing here, people only look for it when they're given a tip of a juicy cost. Somehow we have to find a method whereby, aside from this, when a member stands up, either in a committee or in the House, to debate a particular matter, where he has directly or indirectly an interest, right at the outset, you must stand up and say, Chairperson, Speaker, I wish to declare that I have an interest in the following matter, which has a bearing on me. We haven't reached that point. There's a member, I won't mention his name, who I know has a legal company to which he belongs. And that company does most, if not all, of its work deals with the actions of the government. All its work, just actions, stood up and spoke on a bill that was amending the act. And I sat in the House and it was 2 days later. Someone reminded me, by the way, this company does all its work with the accident. So when he spoke, was he speaking on behalf of his party or his company? Can you see? Setting it out for you, just so that you can understand now where this conflict of interest arises and how it can be dealt with the situation. I don't know if he was speaking on behalf of his party or on behalf of his company. The important thing then is that you need to find a means or a method whereby members do that as a matter of course. And if they do, if they don't, there must be a mechanism somewhere in your rules whereby you can raise it and say, when he spoke on that day, in this debate, he did not formally declare his interest. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
So that's the first point. The second point, and Padilla has alluded to it, relates to Sukkot. I want to suggest that you allow your Rebusha, if she hasn't already done so, I don't know if she has, to have the authority at her hand to be able to go into the program. But only she must have it. Members of the committee, well, say, some of it is confidential, so not everyone. You and I can go into the process, but there are aspects of it where it's shut from you and me. But they must have the authority to go into any aspect. It assists you in the event that you are required, or the registrar is required, to conduct an investigation, especially when you receive a consent. That's the first thing. The second thing is, we have now introduced something which is not in our room. I got fed up with these constant revelations. It's just, they may not mention it when it's journalists, now it's Sunday. It's very good. You two things are coming up. All you would do is wait for us to publish this. You take it, go home, sit in front of his computer. He had access to it. Punch in your name and your ID number, and he'd have all your financial information. You'd have to print out a hard copy, compare it to what you've written here, and you said, oh, is this company here? This company? 2 weeks later, Sunday time, something store. And from that time, it was made in Guardian. So what we did then is said, we announced it to everyone, all the members, doesn't matter which party, we said, we are affording you the opportunity. Go to the office of the registrar, give her your name, your ID number, and sign this form, saying you're authorizing her to go into the book and clear, see there, financial interest you have, and never compared to what you've done. It worked beautifully well for everyone who took advantage of it. It wasn't forced on members. You had to voluntarily go your own to the staff. So we didn't say you have to do it. We said, we're providing you now with the opportunity to take advantage of it, go to her. She said, well, it's okay. We went further. We asked the pro, we said, come down here and sit here for 5 days, 3 days. Not an easy thing, but maybe they'll agree to do it. Gave them office space right next to Padilla. So they set up their computers and everything else, and they so my advice to you is try and establish a relationship with the heads of the organization, right? They'll be only two people. I can vouch for them. And that works for you. As a result now, you don't see those headlines. Which is not to say they won't reappear.
Mm-hmm. No,
investigative journalists are that way.
But the issue is really about the sitting members.
Yeah.
And that's the point, you know, it's not connected. So where there are these things, you must have to come back. And we took a step. You know, the other thing which I think that which is a shock to me, the only thing this information is secret. It's because they are the point. So, you know, people think, and I think the consciousness in our parliament is deep. People know now, everybody knows, you can't have a company that's registered that you can hide away. It's very easy to find. Unfortunately for members of parliament and elected representatives, your ID numbers are published by the IEC. You know. So if somebody wants your information, you just go with your ID number. Normally, government agencies, we don't pay. But the newspaper gets 80 rand, they have to pay 80 rand to get the information that, you know, that they want from the website. They pay clearly because if they got 108,000 rand, it's an expensive story, it's a cheap story for them, you know, to get a lot of information they might need out of you. So those are some of the things. The other thing is, you know, I haven't really fully explored it, but I'm told that the stock exchange also can give you the list of every person's stockholders on your ID number. Yeah. I mean, I haven't really extended the relationship to assist members there. So, I mean, the point is, in this day and age, very little confidential information or secret stuff. You know, it's very expensive on top of
On behalf of the Northern Coast at this point, we really want to thank and the committee some of the very special I think this morning was really very nice. We have even taken the decision to go to the break that we have missed to keep up our some of the issues are coming to the point of the people. And I think we've also accepted that to see that we can go out there and one of the families. The issue of transporting to the house of one thing that was not happened. We actually never had a change in the middle of the but it was something that we can look at the same thing happened to us. We should be sure of it. Mr. Lenders, if we are faced with two challenges. For the flight situation, that we are, there are three children coming. And the last level, I don't think that the FDA is even coming to us. The conflict that we have coming to the nation. We know some of the challenges that we have not come. Even if the municipal canal is fresh, the other country, and I think the country that we the other element, we do have the public transportation, which makes it easier to see our people. We have senior officials who are also involved in this sector. And I think we need to cascade this. The subject that we face to say how do we really tackle this monster. But in closing, I must say that I think this subject really was a while. We have been postponing it to giving it, but finally today we have met. And we are really going to. And I just want to say on behalf of this committee, we want to thank you for the time. We do understand that other members could make the decision, but I think the members will be here. They've been really here. So that's more than we know that we still have another short session after this one.
Just to say thank you for this opportunity. I must confess that thing that we know is when we come to the understand ourselves and the strange field we learn every day. Sometimes you have to go by your instinct. If your instincts tell you that, look, this thing is wrong, trust me. I've always found it strange that you have dedication. Canada. Villa has, I know, engaged with the committee. This is our first time we've engaged with the provincial council. So I'm hoping that we can use this time to count in and present to help them to be able to have one that you have. More of this community. I'm not saying that we haven't done it before. Maybe not right now, but I know that the next couple of days have gone through the engagement in my head. I pick up a number of things that are different in the group now. But I want to thank you for meeting with us. I really enjoy it. Feel free, I know that's a good one. I'm so busy. She's from a business. I know that she's always, and he was always.
Thank you.